This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple, and I'm here with my co-host, Alan Cobb, and our guest today is Chris Johnson, who is one of the people who has been responsible for kind of forming the shape of Fairfield, and we'd love to have a show where we talk to you about that, but today we're going to talk about your most recent project. The theater in town closed down kind of abruptly, and without a hometown theater, there was some, or the idea of no hometown theater caused this huge feeling of lack inside of everyone in Fairfield. But you've got some ideas to do something about this. You happen to be the owner of that building, but you leased it out to the theater people. Is that how it worked before?
Yes, I'm the managing partner of a partnership that has owned the building since, I think it's 1991 or 1993. And when we bought the building, we really had the idea of doing an independent, diversified art theater, film theater. But it was tied up in a lease for about 10 years. And then we had a couple of lease gaps along the way between now and then and made some attempt to do what we're going to do now. At one point, 10 years ago or so, we thought we had the funding, and that didn't work. And then when we tried another time or two, there just wasn't the interest. It was, I think it was a dissatisfied contentment that no one really liked what was going on in the theater, the condition of it, the quality of seating and sound, the film content. But because something was there, I think people kind of said, oh, well, we'll live with it. But once it closed abruptly, it was we weren't completely surprised because we knew they weren't very good operators. But we got basically a day's notice, and the manager got a couple hours' notice, and they closed down in whatever it was, 2 or 3 months ago. And from that, as you were just saying, Bill, as soon as it closed down, then this created this reaction of, oh no, our theater is gone, and it kind of brought us to the present point.
You don't miss your water till your well runs dry.
Yeah, pretty much.
But one of the things that brought this on is, you know, starting the first of the year, all theaters have to go to a digital format. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's coming up. I don't know if it's exactly the first of the year, but it's over the next few months, and this process has been known and in effect for a few years, the conversion to digital, and a number of theaters have done this 3, 4, 5 years ago. But I think the reason that this operation went out was twofold. The cost of converting to digital was one aspect of it, but if the rest of the operation was working properly, then they would have been able to afford to do this. The cost 4 or 5 years ago, like most technology, was very expensive at the front end. I think about $120,000 per screen. It's now more in the $50,000 to $70,000 per screen, depending on theater size and other factors. I think the previous operators just weren't running the business very well. They weren't addressing what this community needed, so on and so forth. But we're told that there'll be 4,000 to 5,000 theaters nationwide, mainly small town neighborhood theaters, that will close in the next year or so because of the circumstances of having to convert to digital, and also just the general nature of the film industry, which is very indicative of the overall problems we're having with the economy, that so much is taken out at the top end in really non-input ways. In other words, in investment aspects that pull everything out of it. And by the time, whether it's film or food or whatever it may be, electricity, by the time it hits the street, it's very expensive. So those combined components are creating that phenomena.
Well, some of the other cities, small towns throughout the nation, have addressed the issue and have come up with a new style theater. Also in the big city, there's also these new kinds of theaters. And isn't this the direction you're thinking of going?
Exactly, and it's what we've been, we're thinking about 20 years ago, or close to 20 years ago, and certainly there's been enhancements since then. But even before the issue of the requirement for digital conversion, as you know, people our age know, having grown up in the 50s and 60s, where every small town, every suburb, every neighborhood had at least one movie theater, maybe two. And then with the advent of first television, and then VHS and DVD and HBO and Netflix and so on and so forth, then they started to disappear. But over the last several years, there's been a recognition in urban neighborhoods and suburbs and small towns that if their theater had closed, that just as Fairfield is experiencing now, it's a very important cultural and social component of a town, and can really, especially with the availability of a vast content of film that's available that can be very meaningful, then it can really provide a lot of not only cultural but educational and particular enhancements to a community.
And there's always something different about seeing a movie with a large group of people compared to sitting in your living room and wandering into the kitchen while it's going and stuff.
But
like
it's
that.
A cultural bonding event.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
traditional, going back a long way. So, just like any theater event.
And you know, one thing I've noticed over many years is if you go to one of these big multiplexes, you do not see that interaction.
Right.
That's kind of like the mall. People go in, they go out. Whereas, you know, the theater in Fairfield and even small theaters in San Francisco or wherever, then you see people, they're talking about the films and whatever. So it's a very different situation.
Do you have plans for both screens or initially just one?
Yeah, at the front end, I had no idea what the feasibility would be. And until we raise the required funds, we still don't know for sure. But there's been a wonderful group that spontaneously come together from very diversified from all aspects of the community that have really embraced this and are doing most of the work to move it forward. And their intent is to raise funds for new digital equipment for both theaters, new seating, complete renovation. The building, his ownership has agreed to renovate the lobby and restrooms and some other components like that. So the intent is to have both theaters, both auditoriums operating, and to do a very wide spectrum of film, ranging from selected mainstream films that are, you know, thought to be of very good quality, but then also going through the whole world of independent film, art film, documentaries, locally generated film. I mean, a lot of the wonderful things that you've done at ICON, Bill, could be presented there. I mean, as you know,
first thing I thought about was doing more of a experimental film festival, but over there for ICON.
Yeah, no, and that when you mention film festivals, that's one of the things that we really want to embrace. Possibly one or two major festivals a year, with all the great connections that we have in this community to film and art and other areas of interest, that we could develop a couple of film festivals that hopefully over time could really get on the map and the circuit. But beyond that, we've been thinking maybe even having a monthly film festival with a different subject matter. And one could be, you know, the annual ICON Festival, and there could be, you know, Sofia could have the annual Italian Festival, and so on and so forth. And So this could bring in fabulous content to the community. And I've always thought that if this is done right with the festivals and diversified content that you're not going to get in your average movie theater in Iowa, whether it's a multiplex or the other small towns, that this can become a destination for people wanting to see these films in an environment with other people that that have those interests.
Well, like Lincoln is only available at one mall in Iowa City. The next nearest one, I think, is, well, maybe Cedar Rapids, but Des Moines. And that's a long drive to see a specific movie.
Right, right.
And people,
but we do get people down from Iowa City. It's a little longer drive from Des Moines.
Yeah.
To just come and see Icon, but the more stuff we get down here, the more reason we'll, and there's more shops than ever. There's all the theater, and there's Icon, and there's the restaurants. Every year that goes by, there's more of an attraction to Fairfield, so it's only going to go more in that direction, I think.
And it contributes substantially to that kind of vision of the quality of life in the area. For people who don't live here yet, they come and look, and they see there's a brand new movie theater, and there's an incredible theater, and a convention center and a university. And my goodness, this is not in the cornfields.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a serious part of the evaluation of someone deciding to move here full time, part time, move a business here. That you look at the composition of those things and a movie theater with diversified, high-quality film content is a very important part of that.
But the movie theater is just attractive to the entire demographic. Everybody wants to go to the movies. So.
And we think we can really address every aspect of the community. I mean, certainly there's some people from, doesn't matter what demographic, that won't go to a movie theater no matter what. But I think with content that isn't just regurgitating the same 5 or 10 movies that are playing at every multiplex in the country at the same time, that we're going to be able to bring things forward that are going to, even someone who might only go to 1 or 2 movies a year that'll say, "Boy, I really want to see that." Or,
but nowadays with the availability of all this. The digital and the Netflix and all and the streaming. I'm not as inclined to go 30 minutes up the road to the multiplex.
No,
because I'd rather watch that in high definition in my own home.
Right.
But this community experience, just down the street, I'm inclined to go watch a movie there. But not with the old sound and the old seats.
And especially if there's some, kind of expanded quality to the place where people can sit around and talk after the movie or possibly before the movie.
And you have some plans for that too.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you both brought that up. Is the intent in the renovation of the lobby is, in fact, we've already started tearing out these kind of odd walls that were put in by the last operator. And the intent is, in addition to the ticketing, popcorn, soda, candy counter, there'll be a couple of other counters. One that'll do espresso, coffee, tea, beer, wine, pastry, kind of that sector, and then another to do perhaps sandwiches or sushi or something. We'll see what comes forward. And then in the north end of the building, and it's a space we had planned to eventually do this anyway, is we've torn out all the old mechanical systems that weren't used anymore, and we'll put a full kitchen in there with a little side seating area, and that'll be an area that can be operated as a restaurant. And then in the lobby, which will open up substantially now, tear out the old powder rooms, there'll be seating for 40 or 50. So that'll be
for that coffee, pastry, and that kind of thing, or for the restaurant.
For everything, all these different
seating for all the food
for all the components, and this will be open all the time, not just when movies are being shown. So
it'll be open for a while after the last feature of the evening.
Yeah, right? Yes, exactly.
Because people want to hang out after
And there's very little open late at night in town, so that it'll fill that purpose. And hopefully with real artisan quality, so it's not just, you know, something that's...
funky.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say for our listening audience that this is KRU 100.1 FM, and it's Icon Art Radio, and Alan Cobb and me, Bill Teeple, are interviewing Chris Johnson, who's putting together a group to reopen the movie theater here in Fairfield.
Have there been any thoughts about the name?
The working name and the intent now is to go back to the original name Orpheum. Of the theater from 1910, Orpheum Theater.
Great. I love that.
And there's a nonprofit that's been formed, 501c3, called, hope I get this right, Orpheum Theater Fairfield and Fairfield Film Institute, or Orpheum Theater and Fairfield
that
Film Institute,
enough,
something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. When you put up that black and gold sign on the north end of the building, I thought that really added something to your arrival in Fairfield. It's nice.
And all these visuals, all the visuals throughout Fairfield that say you're here, this is happening here, and a feeling of solidity and aesthetics and all that.
Yeah, it's pride of
like
place
the,
and everything.
The sign, you know, your park hotel and all this stuff is, that's you, isn't it, the park?
Yeah.
It's all adding to a flavor for Fairfield, and it's just adding up. And it feels like we're at a kind, I always say this, that we're at a kind of tipping point. But.
Well, we're getting closer and closer to a tipping point that will be unstoppable. I think we still have options to drop the ball, but it won't be too much better around here before we can't help it.
But individuals taking up the banner and doing action seems to have been the way. Individuals or small groups that just go out and do their thing, the one element, like the art or the theater or the movie theater,
vision and determination.
I mean, it's nice to sit around in the cafe and wish that Fairfield looked like this and like that and imagine it's going, you know, but it's somebody out there really working hard to raise funds and do the work and create the product. My hat is off to all those folks.
Well, including yourself with all that you've done.
I know from experience how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of focus and determination and love to do it. So it's.
Have you? It's probably too early to tell, but as the higher and higher resolution hardware begins to emerge, I've just seen a couple of $50,000 projectors that I think they were 3K. I'm not sure if they were 2K or 3K, but 4K, of course, is coming along. I don't know if the theaters nationwide will go to 4K anytime soon.
I'm probably the worst person of the whole group to address the technical issues, but I know my son Christopher and some of the others have got a subcommittee that's, and I know I've heard him discussing 2K to 4K and that specific range, but I guess that they're... there's three or four different distributors that they've been dealing with.
Are you going to let me and the listening audience know what you're talking about?
Yes. you can think of HD TV, assuming that it's the 1080 type of the full HD, as they call it in the store. That's 1K because it's about 1,000 dots high. And so 2K is twice as high and twice as wide. 4K is four times as 4,000 dots high and 8,000 dots wide. And when you start getting into resolution on that scale, it substantially exceeds film. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the finest 70 millimeter film that was ever used running horizontally probably wasn't more, you know, resolution than 4K. And if you add that with an increased frame rate, you get looking out the window kind of experience from it. But it's going to take cinematographers and DPs a while to get used to the new technology and figure out how. I mean, there are already people complaining about The Hobbit, which is showing at 48 frames per second in a lot of movie theaters instead of the traditional 24 or 30 for digital. And some people just don't like it. But I remember very distinctly about 5 or 6 years ago when a number of prominent directors said they would never, ever shoot digital. Not in a million years. It just was horrible compared to film. And they're all shooting digital because you can fix that. it doesn't have to be horrible. It's like the first generation of CDs. Yeah. They sounded kind of crisp and brittle and harsh, and nobody was terribly impressed by them. And they sound fine now. And it's just a matter of learning how to use the technology better. And I think the film industry knows that they're not going to drag you out of your house unless they can offer you something special, especially if they can offer you something you can't have at home. And so many people have 40-inch or bigger flat panel HD TVs that, you know, sitting 6 feet away from it is the equivalent of going to the movies. It's just that there's nobody else there, and there's no social experience.
No, you have to make it a special experience.
Yeah.
And we see that people, it's like my whole thing started, you know, the Icon and all of that started because of, we started having openings at their little gallery opened up above the square there. And people were saying the same thing. They were saying, I was going to go back to San Francisco, except now I'm having the art opening experience that I missed there tonight.
Yeah.
And so if we can bring that, well, that's really what we've done so far. This was like every other small town in Iowa.
Yeah.
And there was the Maid Rite Cafe when I came here and the two markets that had no vegetables. And we have brought the big city culture to this place, which has demonstrated that there's something greater in combining the small town ways and the human scale with the big city culture. And that's what we have. And we actually have we're just getting richer and richer, and more people are going to find out that coming to this, a smaller town, rich, culturally rich environment is better than anything.
Well, you know, I used to try and, I always try to buy local. It's just sort of a principle, and I've always applied it all my life. But when it came to going to the co-ed, after a while, I just had to give up. I went in one night and looked up at the glass that the projector was shining through, and it looked like it had been used to store hamburgers or something. It was just greasy and completely ridiculous. And I went out front to suggest that someone maybe should wipe it off. And at the time, there was some kind of discussion going on about the accuracy of the clock, which was off by 20 minutes. And I thought, the receptivity that I need for this little refinement is not there. So I didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
And then the speakers are all out of phase, so you couldn't tell where the sound was coming from. And everybody I know my age was saying, boy, my hearing is really going. I can't understand dialogue anymore at all. And I'd say, well, I hate to say it, but, you know, try another movie theater and see if it in fact you can still understand dialogue.
But I'm so happy that this vision that I've heard you talk like this for some time. It's a vision you've got. It's kind of like the vision I have for what can happen in the arts here.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to happen, and I'm so excited you're doing this.
And like most visions, it's never my vision or your. It's a vision that's there.
It's like that thing that I said of the. I didn't quite get that thought completely out. There's a mythic reality that has to do with, the town square and the promenade and meeting people and the art. I used to go to an art walk. There was an art walk once a week in Los Angeles on La Cienega Boulevard.
Yeah.
And when I was like 15, I had that experience for the first time. And it clicked with that mythic reality inside of this kind of event.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that everybody's feeling, and that you're taking the steps to give that to everyone in terms of the theater, movie theater. It's great.
Yeah, and again, there are so many people that have come forward. I mean, I should mention some of the names, and of course I'm going to forget some of the names, but Patricia and Dean Dresden, Ken and Sheila Ross, John Matthews, Ira Raffel, Tom Selleck.
Tony Ellis, is he involved?
Yeah, Tony, not so much yet, but Tony would certainly be
there was somebody that came up to me, and I thought it was Tony.
Well, he's still
maybe
on
he's
the road a lot.
He's a supporter of the whole thing, yeah.
Neil Cunningham and his wife, Ellen. My son, Christopher, is really the one that I was, when it closed down, I had no idea whether there would be a response. And he said, well, we've got to do this. And this great kid, Christian Day, who's a young film distributor and filmmaker. He did the documentary, Capone's Whiskey, the documentary on Templeton Rye. He contacted us right away when he heard it had closed, because he's been working with a lot of small town theaters that have closed, trying to help them get going again. And he felt right away, he said, Fairfield is not only the most economically feasible, but it's the one that can be the prototype, not only for Iowa, but for small towns and neighborhood theaters. We can really, if we do this right, pull it off, we can really do something that's significant. Whether it has great notoriety or not, but as a model that people can look to and say, wow, this can really work in terms of bringing not only quality but meaningful content into the town. And that I think is the biggest issue, is that we want to really embrace every aspect of the community and create an environment that everyone can be proud of, and content that's diversified enough that everyone from whatever walk of life can relate to it. And we're cautiously optimistic that we're going to be able to do this.
Great.
Well, I'm so excited.
We applaud your vision.
And it's been so great. We've had Chris Johnson, who's making this new movie theater happen in town here at Icon Art Radio. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.